Love you, Derek. Thank you for being willing to do this, okay? Derek's number one argument in this debate, he started with, was that unless it's specifically repealed, it's still binding in the new. And he applied that to Deuteronomy 24:1. So he made an argument for Deuteronomy 24:1 that the put-away woman could remarry. But then he said at the beginning of his last speech that Deuteronomy 24:1 was repealed. Did I mishear that, Derek? I don't think I misheard him say it. He said it was repealed. So what's the point of bringing it up? He's agreeing with me. That's Old Testament law. I spent about 5 minutes in my last speech trying to prove it was only Old Testament law. It didn't apply today. And now he says it was repealed. Why bring it up if that's been repealed? And so he said in Deuteronomy 24:1, 1 through 4, when the woman who was put away went to be a second man's wife, then if that marriage ended, she couldn't go back to the first man. And that's true. But Derek, that's been repealed. You notice the passage I quoted earlier, Romans chapter 7, 2 and 3. I've already quoted it two or three times. The woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. So then if while she's married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. So what is that saying? She's bound to him. Obligated to him. So if she goes and bees another man's wife, it's adultery because she's still bound or obligated to him. Now, what does that mean if that second marriage dissolves? If she gets out of that second marriage like she ought to, she ought to go back to that first husband because she's still bound or obligated to him. That law in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, that she can't go back, has been repealed, Derek. Thank you for that. Then Derek made another argument. He went into this in detail. He says, put away in these passages like Matthew 19:9 does not mean divorce. And we're not talking about a word in the Old Testament. We're talking about apoluo, the Greek word in the New Testament. Let's look at that. Here's Strong's number 630, which is apoluo. The following are definitions from Bible dictionaries. Each dictionary gives several definitions. I'm only going to quote the definition that applies to the marriage passage. Have you ever heard of Bauer, Danker, Art, and Gingrich, Derek? Here's how he defines apoluo. To dissolve a marriage relationship, to divorce. This is what the people who are defining the words for us think, the Greek word, apoluo. Now, I'm just saying this to make an argument for the effect. Derek is not arrogant. He doesn't have arrogant bone in his body. But he's saying he knows more about the definition of this word than Art and Gingrich. Here's Thayer, perhaps the most popularly used Bible dictionary. They're defining not the English words, but the Greek words. He's defining apoluo. He says, use of divorce. Apoluo is used to divorce. These are the guys who've made their whole life, spent their whole life studying the Greek. They know what apoluo means. Strong says it means divorce. W. Vine, a lot of you have Vine in your library. He says it's used to divorce, and he gives all these passages we've been talking about. Barry's lexicon, to put away a wife, divorce. Analytical Greek lexicon, to divorce. Green's Greek concordance, of divorce. Liddell Scott Jones' Greek English lexicon, to divorce a wife. What does put away, that was the Bible dictionaries, the Greek dictionaries. What does it mean in the translations? Now, he mentioned Matthew 5:32. Whoso shall put away his wife, he's saying that doesn't mean divorce, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whoso marrieth her that is divorced, committeth adultery. There the words put away and divorce are used interchangeably. The man puts away his wife, let's say Pat, puts away Carol, and then it says if another man marries the one that is divorced, that's Carol. So that's not adding to your point, Derek, that's refuting your point. The word put away and divorce are used interchangeably in the King James Version in Matthew 5:32. Evidently, the translators thought they meant the same thing, am I right? Now let's go to the newer translations. The newer translations. Are all of these translations wrong? New King James, New American Standard, Revised Standard, NIV, ESV, Matthew 5:32, whoever divorces his wife, and whoever marries the woman who is divorced. That's the word apoluo. What does it mean? It means divorce according to the Bible dictionaries and the translations. Matthew 19:3, is it lawful for man to apoluo, divorce, his wife? Matthew 19:9, whoever divorces his wife. The King James, the old King James says put away, but these newer translations say divorce, and whoever marries the divorced woman. That's put away in the old King James, it's divorce in the newer translation. They're telling us exactly what put away means. Apoluo, the Greek word translated put away in the old King James, in the new translations, is always translated divorce, because it means divorce. Mark 10:11-12, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. That's apoluo. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, divorce. Now, this is not important, but Derek said a woman couldn't divorce a husband in those days. Well, Jesus said she could. Not scripturally. He's saying this woman could divorce her husband. It's possible. Luke 16:18. Whoever divorces his wife, that's apoluo. And whoever marries her, who is divorced? Apoluo is translated divorce. So all the Greek dictionaries say it means divorce. All the translations say it means divorce. Let's skip that chart. I'm running out of time. Let's talk about his argument that put away without the benefits of divorce. That's what he really thinks this is talking about in Matthew 19:9. If you put away your wife without the benefits of divorce. Let's speak Derek's reasoning into Matthew 19:9. Whoever puts away their wife except to be for fornication and marries another commits adultery. He says it's adultery because they never got a divorce. They never got a divorce. He just sent her out. He just put her away without divorcing her. That's why when he remarries it's adultery. But how would that work? Remember it says it's except for fornication. That means if he puts her away for fornication, he may remarry. But you said put away there means just send her away without getting a divorce. So according to that reasoning, Derek, I could send my wife away, not divorce her, just send her away without the benefit of divorce, and I could remarry without committing adultery. That's what it says. The implication is what you can't do for something other than fornication, you can do if you do it for fornication. If it's only put away without the benefit of divorce, why can I remarry if I send her away for fornication? It has to mean divorce. Otherwise, I couldn't remarry without committing adultery. It has to mean divorce, doesn't it? Luke 16:18. If a man apolluos his wife and marries another, he commits adultery. How can he do that if he didn't divorce her according to civil law? How can he remarry? Okay? Let's do this last thing, because I'm running out of time. Let's compare Deuteronomy 24:1, which was his main argument on this point, to Jeremiah 3:1. This was his main argument to try to show that put away did not mean divorce. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and she come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, give her in her hand, and send her out of his house. So he says the bill of divorcement, the divorce, is different than the sending away. But let's compare that, Derek, and I appreciate your argument. It's very clever, Derek. Thank you. Let's compare that to Jeremiah 3:1. Now, Jeremiah 3 refers to the exact same thing. I'm sure you'll agree. But he didn't say, send her away and write her a bill of divorcement. He just puts it in one phrase. He says, they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's wife, shall he return to her again? To him, what? That's Deuteronomy 24:1, isn't it? But instead of saying, send her away and write her a bill of divorcement, this is just saying, if a man puts her away. So the putting away includes the sending her away and the bill of divorcement. It includes both when you compare Deuteronomy 24:1 and Jeremiah 3:1. The truth of the matter is, the writing of the bill of divorcement, you're right, is not the divorce. If I were to divorce my wife, you have the divorce in America, in Alabama, in Kentucky, then you have a piece of paper describing what happened in the divorce. The piece of paper, the divorce papers, that's not the divorce. That's the paper, the legal paper that describes the divorce. Do you see that? So you're right, the paper is not the divorce. It's the paper that describes the divorce. So there you have it. When Jesus said, if you put away your wife, New King James says, if you divorce your wife for any reason other than fornication, if you remarry, you commit adultery. Now he says, that's because you never got a divorce. You only just sent her away. That admits then that if we find out that put away does mean divorce, apolluo does mean divorce, then he's agreeing with me that if he divorces his wife for any reason other than fornication and remarries, he's committing adultery. Because put away, apolluo does mean divorce. Just like we prove it. He mentioned about Malachi. He said there's a contradiction if you take it away Patmos. God hated putting away. But how can he hate putting away if he allows it in Deuteronomy 24:1? He says, well, that means there really wasn't. It really wasn't putting away there. No. Here's the reason they don't contradict. When Malachi 2:16 says God hates divorce, he's saying God hates unscriptural divorce. He's not saying God hates all divorces. He's saying God hates unscriptural divorces. If I commit adultery with my wife, and she divorces me for that, that's not a sin on her part. God doesn't hate that. But if she divorces me because I don't cut the grass often enough, God does hate that. God hates all unscriptural divorces, but he doesn't hate divorces that he authorizes. That's the solution. There's no contradiction there, Derek. And then Derek said, well, the Levirate marriage law was repealed in the law of Moses, not patriarchal. Well, this becomes a moot point. Because the very reason he brought up this part about being repealed was that Deuteronomy 24:1 wasn't repealed, therefore it still applies today. But then he amended his last speech, then it was repealed. So it's all a moot point. Why are we arguing about what's repealed and not repealed if Deuteronomy 24:1 has been repealed? If it's been repealed, we can't use it for authority today. Am I right, Derek? And you said in your last speech it was repealed. But here's the truth of the matter. It's not just the law of Moses that was repealed. Even the patriarchal law was repealed. For example, what happened in Genesis 4:4? Any man here remember what Abel did in Genesis 4:4? Offered an animal sacrifice. That's the patriarchal law, not the law of Moses, way before the law of Moses. 1,000 or 2,000 years, I don't know. But don't we know that's been repealed, animal sacrifices? So it's not true that if it's in the patriarchal law it hadn't been repealed. Well, we got animal sacrifices and circumcision over there in the patriarchal law. A lot of other things. It's all of it. Remember my point? God is the mediator of the New Testament, Hebrews 9:15. Not the New Testament plus the patriarchal law. Or not the New Testament plus 4 or 5 things in the Old Testament that we happen to think ought to be binding because we like them. That's what the Sabbatarians say. They say, we're under the New Testament plus the Sabbath, and maybe the law gets eaten pork and catfish. They just pick out something. No, we're under the New Testament. Every jot and every tittle passed away when Jesus fulfilled it. Matthew 5:17 and 18. All of it. not just the law of Moses, but all of the Old Testament. And you know that because he says we're under the New Testament law exclusively, and I quoted that thing 3 or 4 times in the book of Hebrews. Then Derek mentioned this. God recognizes marriages, but does not approve of it. Well, here's his argument, in case you don't understand it. So maybe God doesn't approve of this second marriage. You know, that's, it was been a divorce not for fornication, like I divorced my wife for burning the biscuits, I remarried. Maybe God doesn't approve of that, but he recognizes it, so it's okay to stay in it. No. We've got two different meanings for the word recognize here. You could mean recognize in the fact that God approves of something. God does not recognize an adulterous marriage in the sense that he approves of it. Just like he does not recognize a gay marriage in the sense he does not approve of it. He does not recognize a polygamous marriage in the sense that he approves of it. He does not even recognize a murder in the sense that he approves of it. But if you mean recognize, and you're using these terms ambiguously, if you mean recognize in the sense he knows it happened, then he recognizes that a murder happened and he disapproves of it. He recognizes that a gay marriage happens and he disapproves of it. Sinful. He recognizes, he sees it's happened, that a polygamous marriage happens, and he recognizes it. And he says, it's sin. He sees it happen. He recognizes a murder takes place in the sense that he sees that it happens. He doesn't approve of it. Is the man still alive just because he doesn't approve of it? He doesn't recognize it in the sense he doesn't approve of it? No, the man's dead. And he recognizes that adulterous marriages take place in the sense that he sees it. And that's why it's sin. He sees that it happened. He says, you're not to do that. You're not to commit adultery. He says, adulterers will have the sexually immoral will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, Revelation 21:8. He recognizes the adultery takes place. And so he says, if you do that and you continue to be involved in that sin, you don't repent of it, you don't quit it, you're going to go to the bad place. The works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. He recognizes people are committing adultery when they divorce and remarry, meaning he sees that it happens, but he doesn't recognize it in the sense that he approves of it. Just like murder. He recognizes it in the sense that he sees that it happens, not in the sense that he approves of it. Of course he sees that it happens. He sees everything, and he sees that it's a sin. So let's go back to Matthew 19:9. Let's think about Matthew 19:9. This is a crucial verse, of course. Well, I think I can pull it up. No, I won't try to do that. Let's just go to the passage. Matthew 19:9, Jesus says, whoever puts away their wife, this is the Greek word apoluo, we prove from these charts, 19, that put away apoluo means divorce. The definitions from the Bible dictionary, we proved it from the translations. All the newer translations have divorce here. If you put away, you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication and marry another, you commit adultery. Now, Derek has only one of two options. One way he's trying to put it is, well, God recognizes these marriages. They're bad, but he recognizes them. Therefore, it's okay to say them. So that's what this is what Derek would be saying. He's saying if I divorce my wife for burning the biscuit to marry another, it's adultery. And God doesn't like that, but it's okay for me to stay in it. I think that's what he's saying. Even though I'm committing adultery, every time I get in the bed with that second wife, can two gay men, they're married, can they say to God, I want to be forgiven? So, God, we're sorry for this. Please forgive me. But oh, by the way, God, I'm going to stay in this homosexual relationship. Is that true repentance? What about a polygamous marriage? Back in 1800 in Utah, I married to Carol. I don't divorce Carol. I just take me a second wife. Polygamy. Allowed in the Old Testament, not in the New. Legal in Utah in 1800. I take a second wife. Is it really true that God doesn't really like that? But since he recognizes it, it's okay to stay in. Is that really true about polygamous and gay marriages? What about Herod and Herodias' marriage in Mark 6:17-18? Here's John the Baptist, and he lost his head for this. It's not lawful for you to have her. Derek, love you. But if Derek had been there, and we'd had this debate right then and there, Derek is in effect saying, well, maybe it's not lawful, but you can stay in. Derek is taking the side of Herod and Herodias in this debate. When John told Herod it's not lawful for you to have her, it's unlawful. It's obvious, this is Mark 6:17-18. It's obvious he's telling them they're going to have to terminate their marriage. Now, I didn't have time to get into the part about incest, but perhaps we can do that tomorrow night. What about those marriages in Ezra? Now, they weren't supposed to marry these foreign women. Ezra 10:10-11, verse 44, some of them had children. Did God say, okay, I told you not to do that, and it's bad, but it's okay for you to stay in it? Is that what God said? Now, I know this is a completely different reason. It's not because they divorced and remarried. This is their first marriage, as far as we know. But it's God told them not to marry these women from foreign lands. He said, separate yourself from these wives. Derek made this argument. Two wrongs don't make a right. He basically said, look, if it's wrong to divorce your spouse, your first spouse, then you get married again. Well, if you divorced her, that would be a second wrong. That's really his argument. But apply that to gay marriage. Two gay men are married. Is it wrong for them to get a divorce? Or a polygamous marriage, and that he divorces his second wife to get back to be monogamous with his first wife. Is it wrong for him to do that because it's a divorce? No, we're not saying two wrongs make a right. The second divorce is not a wrong. It's required. How about if a man steals a car and gives it to his son for his 16th birthday, and then he repents? Would it be wrong to steal that car back from his son to give the car back to his rightful owner? No. It's wrong to steal, but it's not wrong to take it back from your son to give it back to his rightful owner. Was it wrong, you know, for Herod to divorce his wife, Mark 6, Herodias to divorce her husband? Was it then be a second wrong for them to divorce when John the Baptist said it's not lawful to have her and he lost his head because of it? Let's don't take Herodias' side in that dispute. We need to stand for the truth on this. If you're an adulterer, you've got to get out of it if you want to go to heaven. We need to stand for the truth on this. Okay? John the Baptist was willing to do that, even though he lost his head, and we're not willing to stand for the truth and tell people they're in an unscriptural marriage, adulterous marriages, and they need to get out of it because we're scared of losing a few members or maybe some contribution. Look at the compromise. All 95% of the churches have compromised on this. Let's don't follow suit.